Moncrief on News Talk.
Even after they've passed their test, many people are nervous drivers, and that anxiety can often increase when they're on the motorway, driving at speed and sandwiched between two massive trucks. This fear seems to disproportionately affect women over 35 years of age. Kathleen Comerford is an RSA driving instructor and the creator of the Overcome Your Fear of Driving campaign. Kathleen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Could you start by telling us your story and the collision you had?
Well, it's going back about 23 years now, Sean. In the old M50, when they had the toll bridge and you had to queue up to put the money in. So I was just queuing up in the left-hand lane one Saturday morning, and then a truck decided to change lane quickly and I was in his blind spot and he didn't see me, so he crashed into me. So the guards came and everything was fine and I wasn't injured, thank God, and the car was okay because it was just the driver's side. But I found the next time I tried to go down the slip road on the M50, I thought I was having a heart attack and I had no idea what was happening to me.
Yeah. So did you then just avoid going on motorways in general?
100%, yeah. Because like back then, there wasn't really much about panic attacks or anxiety. You know, we have come a long way in terms of understanding that and the causes and the effect of it. So, but at the time, yeah, it was the easiest thing to do, even though it wasn't easy to be driving back roads to get where you wanted to go.
Yes. And but did that help your anxiety or did it just increase it in the sense of it kind of bled into other areas?
Yeah, no, it just compounded it. It actually, you know, because it's a story you're telling yourself and it's a program your brain is running. And because we're hardwired for survival, my brain started deciding then we don't want to go places where we feel trapped. So then I didn't want to go into shopping centres or even supermarkets where they had the electric doors, because my brain would start, you know, you're scanning all the time thinking, okay, well, what if that doesn't open? Then I can't get out of here.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. So it made my world very small, but
yeah,
but very interesting to look back on it now and to see the logic of it, even though at the time it felt totally illogical,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, because you wouldn't think there was a connection between those two things at all. But I suppose maybe it was that feeling of being trapped, as you may have been felt initially in the car.
Yeah, well, like we're going around trying to drive on motorways and do high-tech stuff, and everything has like come on in terms of technology and roads have improved, but we still have the same brain that like they had in the caves, Sean. So it's quite a challenge then,
yes,
you know.
So you started looking for some help, and what kind of help did you get?
Yeah, I was exploring different things like different alternative therapies and hypnosis and neuro-linguistic program really worked for me, like getting to understand the patterns in my brain. But then I still felt that I could feel the anxiety in my body. I was still having the physical reaction. So then I found a woman in Limerick who did quantum thinking and releases on, you know, how your body holds trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that then really helped. So then I studied all of those modalities then over a number of years and just decided to put a program together then to help people who were maybe experiencing the same thing that I did.
Yeah, I must say I've never heard of quantum thinking before. So what happens in those kind of sessions?
Well, what you're trying to do in the sessions that I'm doing, it's kind of like being a private investigator with the client, because you're trying to find out, where did this happen? What's the root of it? And where does the pattern occur? And why is the brain deciding this? And like sometimes it can be, you know, it can take quite a while with some people to go back to their childhood, like almost like that they, when like their father was a drunk driver and they ended up crashing into a bend. And that's why this woman doesn't like going around bends. Another guy, he was in a crash and he was cut out of the car by the emergency services. So like he really had PTSD, but he didn't know it. But then he just stopped wanting to drive on motorways or on higher speeds as well. And on wet roads, because all of this had happened on a wet night at a high speed. So the body remembers and it keeps the scores and it's live within you. So you have to go back into the memory and release it and neutralize it, because otherwise it's like an electric system going through your body all the time.
So when people come into you, it's not, you know, it's not, right, let's get you in a car and drive on some motorway and get used to it. You're talking to them initially to find out, is there something else on top of just the fear in itself?
Yeah, well, when I started the programme, I used to do it in the car, Sean, but I found it quite difficult because people were having traumas and not able to drive, and then it didn't feel kind of appropriate to be sitting on the side of the street with them pouring, you know, their soul out or crying over something that they've just remembered. So that's why I decided to take it off the road and just bring it into a Zoom or into a room, like, you know, because it can be a lot of it can be related to grief or a stressful time in your life where a difficulty in marriage, exams, stress in work, somebody dying. One woman in particular never wanted to drive on a motorway, and eventually she remembered that when she was about 11, her aunt came in and said that their son had been killed on the motorway in another country, and she thinks she decided then at 11 she'd never drive on a motorway.
Oh, my word. That's so interesting. That figure, and research seems to bear this out, that it does disproportionately affect women over 35. Why is that?
Well, now, I don't know why exactly the age of 35, but I do know that women have a heightened risk perception, so we're more risk averse. And we also have a higher, quicker response to fight or flight, basically, you know, because I think we're more hardwired for survival, whereas like men will feel the stress, but they don't maybe ask for help or mightn't even tick it on a box that they had it, you know.
Because I think most reasonably sane people will kind of feel to some degree or another that a motorway can, especially if it's crowded, if you're on the M50 and cars are going fast and, you know, yeah, all it needs is for one person to not pay attention properly and there could be a catastrophe.
Absolutely. I mean, and all you need is for that one moment for something to give you a fright, and then that can just completely throw your brain off track altogether.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like I totally agree with you that it is like, you know, and I always tell my clients, I'm not going to take fear out of your brain or your body, because we need certain levels of fear in order to stay alive. So, but it's the irrational fear is what I work on with them.
Yeah. So so after you've spoken to them for a while, then do you get in a car? Is it kind of gradually getting used to the sensation of driving on a motorway?
Yeah, no, we worked through it over a 3-week program. And like what we're doing is it's a 2-hour session. And for the first 2 hours, we get to the root of it. And then we find out if it is they're alive in their body. And then I have techniques and things that I do in order to release that. And then we set a task of whether they are comfortable to just go and do a little bit of something. If they're near a motorway, sometimes it's a road with a bend, sometimes it's driving just even in traffic. And then they often come back then after the first session and they've just done loads, like that the story is gone out of their head, that continuous loop of the brain saying, where's the exit, where's the exit, or the feelings of palpitations and that. And then we do more with the next session and then off they go again. And then pretty much by the end of the third session, like I had 3 people in April and they're all... One was a fear of a driving test and she's can't wait to get her driving test now. And the other was not wanting to drive on motorways in Cork and Limerick and Galway. And then the other one was in Dublin. And thankfully, they're all flying around now.
One of our listeners has texted in to say driving anxiety is actually also a specific menopause symptom. So it could be related. That could relate to the over 35 thing, I suppose, if some women are perimenopausal at that point. That might feed into it.
So everything can get heightened around that time, but I do think it can happen at any age.
And Kathleen, is it that the anxiety, you can't completely get rid of it, but you learn how to manage it?
No, I would disagree with that. Like, I would feel mine is gone. Like, I drive 4 hours on a motorway up and down to Kilkenny, Mayo to Kilkenny all the time now, and it doesn't bother me. And I look for feedback, say, months and 6 months later with most of my clients. And it's gone. There's nothing there.
Right. OK, so it can go away completely.
Well, it's the neural pathways. Like, the brain can't distinguish between real and imaginary. So that's the problem. So once you can work that out, and then the brain is holding a program of wanting you to protect you, and the body is holding the trauma. So once you release the trauma and then you rewire the brain, there's no reason for it still to be there.
Yeah. But I assume, when the truck crashed into you, you probably still have a fairly vivid memory of that.
Not as vivid now, because I've taken the liveness out of it, if that makes sense. Mm. It's like remembering, you can remember the day you got married and whatever, and you can see a picture of it and you can go back into it, but you're not actually reliving it completely, if that makes sense. I have it's called disassociation. I've disassociated myself from any of the negativeness around that.
Yeah. It's so interesting.
So I'm fine around trucks. I'm just always conscious. But I, as a driving instructor, I would always teach people to stay out of people's blind spots.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Especially trucks and that, because you put your hand at your ear, you can't see your hand. So it's as simple as that, you know?
Yeah.
And for a lot of people, their field of vision can be very low. They're not looking far enough up the road. They get away with that driving it in towns, maybe driving a bit in the country. But when you're on a motorway, you need to be looking at the horizon so you can do that 120 and know what's happening ahead. And if you're not looking far enough up the road, then your nervous system is going to kick in, because it's not going to feel safe, because your brain isn't getting the information it needs to feel safe.
Yeah. And the people that you've helped, Kathleen, is there always a trauma there? And can it always be discoverable?
Well, what do you mean by trauma?
Well, I mean that there's some other event other than they suddenly just, developed a fear of driving on the motorway, say. You cited a few examples there. Is there always something that predates that they're not aware is influencing their anxiety?
Well, that pretty much, yeah, that's what I have found. And not only that, there's always loads, of incidents. One of the guys I had in April, I think there was, 12 of them that we had to go through.
God, 12 of them.
Yeah, that was the most that I've ever had. But but that was good that we could get the awareness going on that level, because it's like an onion. You just peel it back and peel it back, and then you get to the root of it. So that's why it works, I think, is because we go really deep with it. I'm not trying to do a surface thing or a band-aid thing here. I'm trying to find out what's going on and what's the program you've been running and how long have you been running it. But if you really think of this, none of us, any of those people, including myself, we were able to drive on a motorway prior to something happening. So then you can get back to that.
Yeah, indeed. Do you have a website, Kathleen? A few people want to know, how can they get in contact with you?
Yeah, I have a website, because I believe in the positive slant on this. So it's called overcomeyourfearofdriving.com.
Okay, overcomeyourfearofdriving.com. Kathleen, thank you very much for speaking with us today. That was Kathleen Comerford there, an RSA driving instructor and the creator of the Overcome Your Fear of Driving program. Somebody says, interesting that it's more likely in women. I'm a man. In my 40s, I developed what this woman is talking about. But a few sessions of hypnotherapy really helped me, and I never look back. Well, indeed, there is research indicating that, though Kathleen herself gets a lot of men as well as women. Driving anxiety is so common. My sister has it. She thinks it's because she never drove on the motorway during lessons and her test. I developed driving anxiety in my mid-30s, driven happily for years. I won't drive on motorways now, but there was no trigger or trauma. It just started happening. Well, it might be the case that there is one, but you're unaware of it. And, it mightn't have happened around that time at all. It might be something kind of from your past. I experienced this, not sure what caused it, but the speed seems to concern me. And I'm okay if nobody is behind me to drive at the appropriate speed. But when the road starts getting busy and I feel cars are getting close to me, start flashing lights, etc., I actually slow down. It is completely motorway related and it's very life limiting. And somebody else says, my sister would not drive on a motorway due to menopause anxiety. We had to do a dry run to get to Wexford by back roads and two ferries. She's getting better now. Of course, there's also the fact that if we still have these Stone Age brains that haven't really developed, sitting in a tin can driving at 120 kilometres an hour must feel completely unnatural.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.